Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Gentlemen, thanks for being with us this morning. Appreciate you. I know we're one week out of sync, so our brother David could sneak away. He's spending some time with his brother Tim up in Ohio. I think everybody knows Tim is Plumber Tim, affectionately been on the show with us, but always grateful for the great support that you guys give us, at least once a month, and then certainly in between our calls, being available to take, you know, referrals and answer questions that we get in emails and so on. So welcome aboard. Ready for 2 hours, folks. We've got the HVAC partners in the house with us this morning. So give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We tend to be HVAC laden with questions when we have our experts in the house. And that's always good. That's why we ask them to be here with us. Well, one of the reasons. But we'll tackle other questions if you got something else related to home improvement. We're happy to talk about those things. Gentlemen, I've got a few things that we'll just kind of throw up in the air here in this first segment, and maybe get, we'll call it HVAC thought fodder. But something that came up in the last couple of weeks that I hadn't thought about in a long time was radiant heat, like running, you know, the pipes through the either a concrete slab or up underneath a wooden floor system. Be interesting to chat about that a little bit, see what you guys think. Want to talk about best ways or some of the ways to save on our heating and cooling, but this time of year, of course, although I just heard we got a frost warning coming up, go figure, but it's early April, I guess that could happen. But we'll focus mostly on ways to save HVAC dollars as we head into the peak cooling season. And then the mysterious load calculation. We frequently refer to scenarios where someone will call in or share a challenge and we're like, well, probably not a good job done on the load calculation. I know that we can't take everybody through it, and there's probably, to coin a phrase, there's probably an app for that. But it'd be good to talk a little bit about what you guys consider when you look at a load calculation. Questions about charged lines. They didn't call them charged lines. They called them that big fat black pipe and that skinny little copper pipe. But it's the charged line system. We'll talk a little bit about that and some things around that. And then it is time once again for dirty sock syndrome. So we'll talk about dirty sock syndrome, and we will not once refer to a washing machine. Cooling and humidity. What is a condenser coil versus an evaporator coil? What does blocking off vents or adding duct fans do? Signs that of leaky ductwork. So that's all stuff that has been coming in for the last few weeks since we had you last. Anything on that sound like fun?
All of it's interesting.
Absolutely.
There's a lot. There's a lot to do. I don't think it's cooling, heating and cooling is one of those things that you should take care of so that you never have to think about it. Because when you start thinking about what has to happen for your system to come on and cool to keep your house comfortable every single day, or to come on and heat and keep your house comfortable every single day, there's a lot that goes into that. Especially if you're using a fossil fuel fired system. You are creating a fire in your house to stay warm. I mean, that sounds kind of barbaric. Anyway, we're not going to talk about heat. Well, we'll talk about whatever you got. But that's it. Anything in your guys' world that we should touch on that doesn't hit that dog's breakfast list of heating and cooling items?
It's kind of that time in the Bible Belt where, you know, God gives you a little bit of heat to let you know, hey, check your furnace or check your air conditioner out, and then throws a little heat behind it or throws a little cold air to make sure your heat's working. If you don't like the weather in North Carolina, just stick around, right?
Man, Rick, that's the first time I heard a biblical reference for heating and cooling.
I got more where that come from.
Okay, So, ladies and gentlemen, Rick says God gives us weather so that we can pay attention to our heating and cooling systems. The scary part is it kind of is in line with what we just talked about. There's a lot that goes into it. And when it does change like that, from hot to cold to hot, or cold to hot to cold, there is it. In fact, that might be a nice conversation. We're going to come right up against the break here, so we'll take it. But it might be good to talk just when we come back from the break about the whole idea of the auto function on your thermostat that allows the system to go from, you know, heat to cool automatically. We're going to take our break. That's what that music means. We'll be back 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call. We'll talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we will take your calls at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Tap the Brain Trust. We spoke coming out of the break or going into the break about the auto function on a thermostat. So they're not newer anymore, but you can get a thermostat that has, you know, a heating. You can hit heat, or you can hit cool, or you can hit auto. And auto, I think, allows a thermostat to tell the system to go into heat mode when it's, you know, below a preset temperature, or into cooling mode, and you don't have to touch the thermostat. Is that a good idea, or is that going to shuttle the system back and forth too frequently?
I believe it's a wonderful idea. I mean, for as far as comfort, which is what we're talking about,
right.
Some people don't like it because in the time of year that we're in, your system can actually be heating it early in the morning and cooling late in the afternoon because the heat builds up. As far as comfort, it's very, you know, very good feature. And most of them have a 4-degree dead band. In other words, you can't set them the two temperatures any closer than four. Heat to 70 and your cooling to 74. And if it gets below 70 degrees, the heat comes on. If it gets above 74, the air conditioner comes on.
No one wants to leave their house when they needed some heat and come home to a hot house. So that auto feature works really well when we got a hot afternoon.
Yep.
So it's actually kind of perfect for our climate.
Absolutely.
I mean, because we have that. That's not an unusual thing to be, you know, 40s in the morning, but then 80 in the afternoon. Okay, that's good. All right. Makes sense to me. I guess the people opposed to it would be like, well, I just pumped all this heat in the morning, and now I got to pump it back out in the afternoon. I don't know. Whatever. All right. So if you've got an auto function, kind of a good deal, especially for comfort. And Rick, your brother, Scott, you know, I mean, Charlotte Comfort Systems, but he is all the time harping on comfort. Zeke, to your point, if that's what you're after, it's a great function. All right, let's go to something that we haven't talked about or I haven't engaged in a long time. And I think really this is just my own personal, like, bias or whatever. But I recall living in the North, it was not unusual to have what we call radiant heat in the floor. So if you had a basement or if you were built on a slab, and there's not so many slabs in certain parts of you know, northern climates for a number of reasons, but it was not unusual to run copper pipe through the floor it before you poured the concrete, and then poured the concrete over that, and then you had either a boiler or it was fundamentally a boiler that would heat up hot water just like a radiator would, you know, heat it up, and then it would pump it through the floor and back into the boiler. It was a closed system, and the heat came out of the floor. I thought it was very comfortable because the whole room was kind of evenly heated. Do we even do that anymore?
Very little. I mean, it's done some, but we don't see it here in Charlotte, even it's with all the slab floors or slab construction that we have here. People just don't do it. It is, like you said, it's very even in the room and pretty nice if you have like a tile floor in your bathroom. Mm-hmm. When you walk in the bathroom, mm-hmm. that you got warm floor instead of a cold tile.
I see it a lot in bathrooms, master bedrooms. People have built their houses with these huge bathrooms and closets, and they're all tile floors, and they have radiant heat in those, and it's really attractive.
That's typically an electrical product, though, right? There's a grid underneath the thin set or grout, and then we have that in our master bedroom now. When we remodeled our master bath, we put it under, put it in the floor, and man, it is wonderful.
I've seen both electric and water in those bathrooms. So yes.
Okay, so either way,
mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, so you guys, I mean, there's nothing like mechanical or nothing in the mechanics of it that says, hey, we don't do it anymore. It's still a good deal.
Ironically, I spoke to someone just last night about wanting to put radiant through their whole house. They have it's an unusual house they're building way out in the country, and they're going to be off grid as much as they can. And so mm-hmm. they want to do an LP propane boiler system that's in the floor. So they will have a radiant system going through their whole house.
My parents had it in a home in Chicago, and I thought it was super great. And then the rest of the house was, hot water baseboard heat. So again, pretty even cooling through the rooms and stuff, where, especially in a climate that's like where it gets really cold. So I don't know. Good deal. All right. Good to know. Folks, we're at 704-570-1110, plenty of time before a break, so give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. Can we go to saving dollars with so cooling dollars? If someone said, hey, I'm going to look at my system. It's 15 years old. I'm going to replace it. And I want to make sure that I do everything to save as much money as I can and make my home more energy efficient. Starting with the system, what would you say the typical homeowner should consider? And then let's talk about insulation also, if we could. But let's talk about the systems first.
Yeah. Well, definitely a variable speed system. That you can, get the highest efficiency and replacing or upgrading your duct system because there's no need to put a high efficiency unit on an old duct system that is leaky because you lose a lot of the money because of duct losses and
kind of like putting snow tires on a Mercedes.
What do you mean? They don't do well in snow? I'm just messing. No, don't even answer that. Uh-huh. All right. So I get it. So that always worries me. We won't go there for a second because there was another question later that I had from that was about leaky ductwork. So if you've got an older home, and Zeke, when we redid our systems at our home there in Atlanta, I didn't redo the ductwork. And so I did not go to the top end, high efficiency system because I felt like I would just be, I was concerned I would just be dumping it out into some of the less than adequate duct spaces and it wasn't practical to replace them. So certainly hear your point on that. What about, variable speed, that would be a variable speed fan. blower, and then also a variable speed compressor if you've got a heat pump or for your air conditioning, correct? Because both can be variable.
Correct.
All right.
And
then
even on your furnaces, even in your furnace, you can have a variable speed system where your gas valve, when it opens up, it doesn't open up at full range. It just steps up and it gradually opens the gas valve more as you need more heat.
So you can have a bigger fire or a smaller fire in your house.
Right.
That just freaks me out, man. It shouldn't, but it does. All right. So that's good. That's good. Then what about, I feel like we look at the systems, and Zeke, you made the point like, hey, you can get a great system, but if your ductwork is not good, then you lose a lot of the efficiency. What about insulation? How much insulation should we have? Because that's changed since David and I started doing this almost 30 years ago now. The code has changed for what's required in attic insulation, correct?
It has. I mean, not only attic, even the walls and floor. I mean, years ago, you did not have to insulate your floors. Now, you know, you end up insulating your floors as well. And, you know, it used to be R11 in the walls, or R7, actually, and R11 in the ceiling or attic. Now it's, you know, much higher R values.
Yep. What are we, 30 plus in the ceiling? Is it 30 or is it more in the ceiling now?
I believe it's 30.
30.
Okay. So I do remember selling R19 insulation and saying, this is what goes in the attic.
Right.
And I don't remember 9. For some reason, I had 7 or 11 in my mind for the walls. But all right, well, so that's cool. So so that almost begs the question. Well, let's go somewhere else first, and then we'll go back to, like, the load calculation. So you said, hey, Zeke, you said if your ductwork is leaking, you know, having a great, you know, a highly efficient system kind of gets spoiled. What are some signs that your ducts might be leaking? Is there a way to tell that?
I mean, you can if you're, let's say, if it's in a crawl space, you can, you know, when you open your crawl space door and it's cool in there, it's always going to be cool, but if it's really, you know, big temperature difference.
Chilly, yeah.
As some of the cooling is leaking into that crawl space, making it, you know, cooler. Or in the wintertime, you know, it's warm and it's, you know, you get some air leaks. Air leaks, it can be both. Leaks can be in the return, and if you're in the return,
right,
you actually pull unconditioned air into your home. If you got leaks in the supply, it's, you know, it's after you heat it and cool the air, then you loose it leaks out to the outdoors. So
yeah,
the worst part about the return, if you're leaking in the return air, you bring in crawl space air to your
nasties.
Yes, or from the attic and bring it in that dusty, you know.
All right, we got to take a break. So we'll come back to this for a second because it begs 100 other questions, and it's important, I think, on both sides of the equation, like return or out. So, folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about your home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Zeke and Rick, thanks for being with us. We're going to do our Home Depot product of the week a week real quickly here. It's one of our favorites. It's a One Plus. It's a Ryobi One Plus item, but it's the 18-volt brushless walk-behind mower. This thing comes with two batteries and a charger. That by itself is worth $200. But what I love about it, it's a third of an acre. It has a 40-minute run time. So with two batteries, you've got two-thirds of an acre and 80 minutes of runtime. That's how good I am with math. And it's the other thing I like, super lightweight, super quiet, and it will store vertically in the garage, so it takes up less space. It's part of the Ryobi One Plus system. That means over 300 other tools can be operated by the batteries that you get with this guy. So, and it comes in at about $299. So if you do the math on what it costs from, you know, to run the gasoline in a mower, I think one of our shows I actually did the math, and I think by 18 months or something like that, it fundamentally pays for itself. So that's a good deal. It's our product of the week. It's the Ryobi One Plus 18 volt brushless walk behind mower. All right, let's go to Bob. Bob has a question. Good morning, Bob. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm wide awake.
All right, that's a good start.
I bought a modular home, which is the two halves just bolt together.
Yeah, yes.
And whoever had it before me painted the entire interior white. It seems to be the same white for the molding, the walls, the doors, the trim, the whole thing.
They just held a spray gun and just
passage of time,
turned.
The molding has pulled away from itself with the splice cut. As mm-hmm. well as slightly from the wall, so therefore I'm trying to figure out whether or not there is such a thing as a caulk or a compound of some sort that is going to be flat finished, because if you paint over a sheen, it's going to still be sheen, in
right.
my opinion. So I'm trying to figure out how to best handle the cosmetic improvement.
So there's a couple. When I first saw your question on a clear sealant, I was going to recommend DAP makes a product called Ultra Clear that I've used like on granite tops and different places. We'll use it outside on brick, because when you put it in, it almost like it pulls the color in and it doesn't look like there's anything there. But if you've got to paint it,
I wasn't suggesting I was going to paint it. If I could put it up and it's a flat finish paint on there right now, and it was a flat finish type compound, whatever you want to call it, spackling or whatever. I prefer not to have the extra step of painting if it's a decent color match. A white.
So I would go back, test it in one spot first. Manner of clear sealants. The one that I like is DAP's Ultra Clear. It's not the least expensive one, but I like it for a couple reasons. Number one, it's clear. It doesn't yellow, because that can be a problem with some of the silicone products. And
right.
then number two, it is, once it cures, it's flexible. So as your home heats up and cools down, as you take on humidity and lose humidity from the summer to the winter, and those gaps get bigger, it stays in the gap, right? It stays. And because it's clear, it's going to reflect the color above it and below it if it's in the joint. So it will give the effect of having the color fill the gap. Now, if it's dark for some reason behind there, I don't think it's going to change that. But I would take a particular spot and test it and see if it does what you want. If not, and if it's all white and it's truly white, then you could go to DAP makes a whole series of they're called Dynaflex, I think, products. And again, I like them because once they cure, they will expand and contract with it stays flexible. So it'll expand and contract. It won't crack out. So start with the Ultra Clear first.
The concern I have about that is if I put it on trim work, or molding that has the diagonal cut for a splice or just to butt them together instead of a square cut, there's a gap. So if I put clear on that, I'll have.
Oh, yeah. If you've got, no, if you can't put clear in a gap. So Bob, if you've got gaps, you're going to have to buy some caulk that's going to close the gap. If you got white trim, buy a white caulk. The DAP products don't typically yellow. You may have to paint it if you don't like how it looks.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
There are so many things that I've said that people will say, I was hoping you wouldn't say that, John. My wife longest list.
I had a friend one time that wanted to paint a house that he was vacating, And he just got him a 5-gallon bucket of Kills. And that way, the next occupant can always get the same color because Kills is always Kills is always Kills.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, let me thank you very much for your guidance.
No, let us know. I appreciate your call, Bob. Have a great one.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Sometimes there's just no shortcuts. We're going to be like right up against the break. Roger, we see you out there, and I think we can help you out. But we're going to be just about 30 seconds away from a break here, so we'll go ahead and take it. Roger has a good question about some double-hung windows that we're going to want to square them up on. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110. We're talking HVAC with our partners from Charlotte Comfort Systems and Acosta Heating, Cooling, Electrical. We're going to do all of this when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Guys, thanks for being with us. I always feel a little bit better when my brother Dave or you guys are in studio. Appreciate you very much. Let's talk to Roger. He's got a great question. Roger, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
I am just fine. Got a question. I've got a house that has like 40 double-hung windows that were installed back in 2006.
Okay.
And they're getting to the point where they're a little hard to open. And I'm looking into some kind of advice on lubrication. When I go to the internet, they say to use like a silicone-based lubricant, and I just want to see if you agree with that. And if so, is there a brand that you would recommend?
So a couple things. I'm trusting that I'm trusting that everything we read on the internet is true.
Wrong.
just real quick, Roger, what parts need lubricating? Are these just like friction slides where the sash just slides up and down in a vinyl track, or is it a vinyl window that's got like a spiral behind the actual jam?
They're vinyl windows that slide up and down in a track, and they're just hard to slide up and down right now.
Okay, so my first thought on lubricant is either a product by Blaster or WD-40 makes one, but it's not conventional WD-40. It's an alcohol propellant that propels a Teflon coating to the surface.
Oh, okay.
The Teflon coating, the alcohol dries up and it does leave a little white film. Like, so if your jams are white, no problem. If they're black or brown, you're going to see some white. But the Teflon tends to outlast and outperform the traditional silicone or some of the oil. You wouldn't want to put an oil kind of or petroleum-based lubricant in there. But I would recommend Dry Lube by Blaster or WD-40's Dry Lube. Both of them use the Teflon product, or a propellant for the Teflon product.
Okay, yeah, I think I have some of the WD-40 Teflon somewhere around here, so I'll give that a shot. While I was on hold, I actually thought of another question, if you have time.
Okay, I do.
And this has to do, the house that I've in, it was built in 2006, and I'm looking at a roof replacement, shingle replacement, and it's a foamed house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hip roof. It's kind of complicated. It was, again, done in 2006 by Carolina Foam Solutions.
Mm-hmm. We know those guys.
And I've actually had some hail damage, so it looks like it's an insurance claim to do this. And really my question is, I'm trying to decide what color shingle to use in a situation like this. I may want to change it. It's kind of a brown color, which I think is kind of boring. We have black door, black shutters. I'm thinking about maybe black shingles, but I don't know if there's any problem with that in terms of environment. And I know it heats up more, obviously.
It's going to heat up more.
Have an opinion on that.
If you've got a foam solution in the attic, I don't believe that the color shingle is going to affect that. You are going to pick up more heat, but the foam keeps the heat away from it because you have foam behind it, and you have the hot sun on top of it, you're probably, the shingle is not going to dissipate the heat. Normally the heat would hit the shingle and then be conducted through the plywood and into the attic, and it would be dissipated. Your shingle's going to hold the heat. You may want to check with the manufacturer. I'm not aware of any kind of warranty impact. I think that came out when we first started seeing foam insulation. People are like, well, what does that do to the warranty on the shingles? And I think virtually every major shingle manufacturer has come out and said, it's not an issue for us. You know, put the shingles on, the warranty's good, even if you've got spray foam in that solution. You should check the manufacturer just to make sure I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
So,
good point.
You might get a slight reduction on the life of the shingle, but as I recall, there's no impact if you choose to go black. You've assessed the scenario correctly, but it's not a negative thing. I would tell you, one of the downsides of a sprayed attic is if you have any kind of leak or any kind of, you know, failure in the shingles and you have rot in the plywood, you won't see that because it's sealed on the inside. So this would be the perfect opportunity for your roofer to go all the way down to the roof deck and just give you a good inspection to make sure nothing needs to get addressed there. And then, as they say in the shingle world, rock on with your bad self.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Roger. Great questions. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Here comes Charles. Charles, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good morning. I have a question for Zeke.
Okay.
I heard you say if you're going to upgrade your system, I'm going to replace my HVAC system in a couple of years. And you mentioned leaky ductwork. I can't tell if mine's leaky because about half of my ductwork is enclosed in the sheetrock ceiling above in the a finished basement, and you can't get to the ductwork. So how can you find out if it's leaking, and can you seal it, reseal ductwork from the inside out?
You can. There is a product that, you know, they spray and it leaks the, or seals the, as it leaks out, mixes with the moisture in the air, and it seals the ductwork. It's fairly expensive and not much of it done around here. The issue, if it is in the supply ductwork, you're leaking between the floors, it's not really going to affect you. The return, it's a problem where, you know, if it's drawn in some dust and, you know, particles from the outside, it's in that ductwork. You have to clean that duct system out also. And that's where it gets to where the cost of the repairs might be higher than replacing.
So quick question, okay. Zeke, for Charles, and this kind of maybe goes to our friend John Cannamella from Infrared Technologies. If Charles has ductwork in the ceiling and it's leaking in a meaningful fashion, would infrared pick it up?
Yes, it would. Definitely.
So that might be something to think about, Charles. I think the company is Infrared Technologies. John Cannamella calls, and we've had him on the show a number of times. That might be something to think about.
Well, and you know, there is an infrared camera attachment you can put on your iPhone now, and you can see it yourself.
Yes. I trust John more than me, but yeah.
I might consider that.
Take a look. What else can we help with, Charles?
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your call. You too. Here comes Bill. Good morning, Bill. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Thanks for taking me on.
You bet.
The question I have has to do with windows.
All right.
I don't know what you want to call them, metal frame windows, whatever. The top and bottom both open and close, and they can fold in so you don't have to go use a ladder to climb outside.
Got it.
The problem I have is, I'm using my own phrases, I don't know what I'm supposed to be calling these things. A plastic tab has apparently snapped off. It's attached to the cord that's attached to the spring inside the side of the window. So I'm trying to find somebody who may have a generic type plastic tab that I can use to allow the window to go up and down. Otherwise, it just falls right down if you try to open it.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a generic solution for that, Bill. We get this question a fair amount, and you really have to take, it's part of a whole spring system behind, so you have to pull out the jam liner, get at the spring system, and then you got to find the piece that actually matches. Do you know who the manufacturer of the window is?
That's the problem. They went out of business.
I'm sure there's, well, I say shouldn't say that. The likelihood that there's replacement parts out there are still good. Here, do me this favor, because David knows this stuff. He deals with this stuff all the time. Send us a note. Just send us a note to questions at ask.
I'm ready. I have paper. Now I'm ready. I have paper.
Okay. It's questions at askjohnanddave.com. You got to spell out the and. Questions at askjohnanddave.com. And just say, David, help me find the replacement parts, spring and clip for a vinyl replacement window. He's got a few recommendations I've heard him make over the years.
Yeah, but I don't want to replace the window because of the fact.
Right. No, 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 no. No, this is the part. This is just the part.
This is a metal window. It's not a vinyl window.
Oh. You're right. Let's see if we can find it. I don't know. Look, hang on a second, Bill. Alan, we see you out there. We got to take a break. We're going to go into our top of the hour break, 704-570-1110. We'll talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Gentlemen, always grateful for your being with us. Alan, thank you for waiting through the break. We appreciate your patience.
Yeah, good morning,
gentlemen. This morning, sir.
I have a question on roofing.
Okay.
What's the advantage architectural over three-tab? I thought it was for wind resistance, but they have a three-tab that's wind resistance at 110 miles per hour. So
There's a couple things. It's a great question, Alan. First off, thanks for asking it. So a couple things. The architectural shingle, if you look at it, number one is more aesthetically pleasing, typically. And at that, once one says there's aesthetics involved, then it's 100%, you know, personal opinion. Do you like it or not? But it gives you more of that shake type look than just the flat three tab. The other thing that it does, it's what's called a laminated shingle. So where your three tab shingle has, you know, just the flat three tabs, and it does have what they call a sole seal. I think that's the manufacturer's name that seals the one shingle course to the next one so that it does have that wind resistance that you spoke to. A laminated shingle has multiple layers to it. That's what gives it the kind of with the shake effect. Because it has those additional layers, you'll typically find that the warranty on a laminated shingle or an architectural shingle is anywhere from 10 to 15 years longer. I think I'm trying to do the math in my head. So typically a regular fiberglass mat three tab shingle is going to carry a 20 or 25 year warranty. An architectural shingle is going to carry a 30 plus, there may be some that actually have a 40 year warranty on them. I'd have to go back and look. I'm trying to do all this from memory. So really the big advantage of an architectural shingle, once you get past the aesthetics of it, is durability and the length of the warranty. So you can imagine if you had a hailstorm, Well, I shouldn't say that, because if it harms the granules, it's going to harm it, whether it's a laminated shingle or just a regular three tab. But those are the big differences. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It's,
well, that sounds dubious, like you're not sure.
Yeah. Well, they said this one has a 40-year shingle. It's a 40-year shingle. I guess okay. That's not the warranty, though.
Yeah, it is the warranty. It's 40 years.
It says 40-year shingle, yeah.
Yeah.
It's windows, so that means 110 miles per hour, so.
Yeah, so if you've got, I mean, yeah, is there a three, you're talking about a three tab that has a 40-year warranty?
Correct.
I'm not a, okay, so who's the manufacturer on that?
Owens Corning. It's called okay. Oak Ridge. Laminated
okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's an architectural shingle. That's not a three tab. And it will have a 40-year warranty, which means if something happens between now and 40 years from now, you'll get a prorated, refund, if you will, or credit to the purchase of new shingles. So if something happens in 20 years and the shingle fails, then they'll take, you know, half the costs or, you know, 20 years off the warranty. And
you were talking about color before on shingles.
Yes.
Which one's best for this South Carolina weather, the sun, to keep the air conditioning down?
So the lighter? Light is always better. The lighter it is, the better it reflects the heat. But remember also, so the beautiful thing about living in South Carolina is white reflects that hard, you know, heat that happens midday. But white also shows that fungus, which grows so readily on our roofs down here as well, right? So one of the things you can do if you're replacing your shingles, when you put the new shingles on and you put a white or light colored shingle on to get the maximum benefit of reflecting the heat, purchase a product called Moss Preventer or Zinc Strip and have your roofer put that on. And it's a little strip of zinc that gets put just beneath the highest course of shingles, the last course of shingles before you hit your ridge cap, and it sticks out maybe about an inch, and it's zinc. And what happens is as the rain washes over that, a little bit of the zinc washes out and washes down the roof. And that zinc is a hostile environment for the fungus, and so you won't have the fungus grow. Or you can get a fungus-resistant shingle, but our experience and feedback tells us while they are better than just a typical shingle, it's not as effective as a zinc strip. What do you think?
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, Alan. We appreciate your call. All right. Alan goes away. We've got a special treat. Zeke and Rick, I should have told you guys first hour. We have once in a quarter, we have a visitor. Jared's been with us before, but Jared Welsbacher is with my beloved Home Depot. And he comes on once a quarter and talks about some cool stuff from the Home Depot. We're going to be right up against a break here in a second, Jared. But say hey and maybe tell us a little bit, and then we'll come back and sneak you in after the second break if you've got a minute. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing really well. So I think we started the spring Black Friday. Like, when did that start?
It just started Thursday. It is here.
Thursday.
Finally, and I'm super excited for it. Biggest, best time of the year to be out there.
All right, so here's a couple things. We're going to take a break, but I want to hear when you come back, if you could help us. David and I don't do really well with plants, so maybe if you've got some ideas for things that people can do with plants, because David and I tend not to do really well there. And then I picked the product of the week this week that was the Ryobi One Plus walk behind mower. But you've probably got a bunch of stuff from plants to furniture to power equipment. So we'll try to cover that stuff off, and we'll do it after this break. You cool with hanging on for a second? I'm going to say that's
all right,
a yes. Jared's going to hang with us. Okay, Jared's going to hang with us. 704-570-1110. That's the number. We'll talk when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Thanks, guys. And we've got Jared Welsbacher with us. Jared, thanks for hanging through the break there. We going into Spring Black Friday, I remember when Home Depot did that the very first time. I might actually have been working in marketing at the time. It was just insane. And like the people loved it. And so it stayed around. And I think you can go to homedepot.com/Spring Black Friday and see all kinds of stuff. But something that David and I don't talk about very often because it's just not our strong suit is some plants. And I think as I've been in stores in three states and going to another one tomorrow. But what's out there from a plant perspective during this special time?
Oh, absolutely. So you bring up a great point. We just started our ad on Thursday. We've got deals going all month long for all of spring, no matter what you're looking for. And so you mentioned plants, tons of different variety and color here. So get into your local store, come to see what they have to offer. We have impatiens, marigolds, and begonias right now that are 2 for $3. So a lot of those littler plants that add all that little vibrant color. One I'm super excited about is our Rio Dibbledania is 2 for $10.
Yeah, I see
right
that.
Now.
Yeah.
And that is
so when you say 2 for $10, that's two plants, $2 for $10.
2 for $10. Yep, it's a 2-quart.
Okay.
So that plant is like a tropical plant. It'll keep that color all season long. So if you're worried about like, hey, how much rainfall, it's a very hardy plant and it keeps that great color. So once you plant it, you're able to just keep it a little bit watered and then it just continues to grow and shine. We have fruit plants right now from Vigoro for 2 for $16. If you're looking into getting into our veggies and herbs, we've got Bonnie 3 for $12 right now, and those are the 4.5-inch great starters. We also have our Burpee vegetables that are 5 for $10 right now. So some really exciting stuff around the plants and the colors. If you're really starting that garden, wanting to get some great color, some vibrancy, I've seen super cows in some of our stores that are 2 for $12 right now. We have the ferns. We also have a bunch of arbs and shrubs kind of all across the area. So if you're looking for some great plants and just wanting to get some variety or even create your own, like I feel like when I go into the greenhouses, I'm looking around and I'm like, man, how can I do this? We've got it all that you need. And so really excited Perfect. About all the plants and colors. But then everything you need to grow with it, I would say. So we've got our soils right now. We've got shovels on sale. We've got our rakes on sale. So if you start thinking about everything you're going to need, come to the Home Depot. And like you said, that Spring Black Friday deal is going to have everything.
All right. Quick question on like grills. We do a product of the week, and a lot of times I pick different grills because I kind of like the grill stuff. So we got the, you know, Final Four starting this evening. We want to have maybe some adult beverages, maybe cook out a little bit. Do you guys still assemble grills? Can I go pick this thing up and be ready to go? Or do I have to put it together?
No, we've got assembled grills ready for you to take home and start cooking tonight. So if you're looking for, and we've got them in all varieties. So you're looking at propane, you're looking for charcoal. If you're looking for our flat top griddles or even a Traeger with a pellet grill, we've got all of them and they're all ready to go. So we offer free assembly and delivery on all grills that are $399 and more. But go into your local store, see what they have. I'm sure they have even more than that. My go-to grill right now is our Next Grill 4-burner. Normally $249, it's on sale right now for $199. So that's a steal. And so that's my go-to.
David should be here.
Yeah, definitely go into your store. They have to have that one, and they'll have it ready for you.
All right. So real quick, the OnePlus system, I think, is ingenious, like over 300 tools. I talked about our product of the week being the walk-behind mower, but then Milwaukee has some stuff out there also. Do they have a comparable product? What would their deal be?
I would tell you Milwaukee is just like everything in their power tools with their drills. It's the best in class, best of the best. So Milwaukee has the full assortment when it comes to outdoor power equipment, whether you need a trimmer, blower, chainsaw, a lawnmower, and it all uses the same M18 platform. So if you've already got the drill set, circular saw, sawzall, whatever, and looking to get some of that, our Milwaukee, and I would tell you, so I was trying some of this stuff out the last week, and I was blown away by the power. The blower just is knocking over everything.
Pretty amazing.
The trimmer has got next to nothing, and when I start thinking about power compared to gas, It's not even close. Like, I feel way confident you're going to get the best tool for the job here.
I do like the Milwaukee stuff from a pro perspective. All right, Jared, I really appreciate the call. There's like thousands of stuff. I think the best advice is HomeDepot.com/SpringBlackFriday. Is there anything else that I forgot to ask you about?
You know what? I would tell you we've got our mulch going on right now. So mulch.
Oh, mulch.
And if you're starting to look at, hey, we've got to start sprucing up the outdoor lawn, mulch is a great place to start. It's on for 3 for $10 right now. We've also got Ortho, Roundup, all of your lawn fertilizers. Those are all on sale. Seeds on sale, assorted seeds, $10 off per bag. Anything that you're going to need for that outdoor space. I mean, like I said, this is my favorite time of the year. We're going to get into some greenery, want to start cooking out, want to relax on those patio sets. We've got, we didn't even talk about patio furniture. We've got all kinds of deals and assortments available. So lots of options.
Is that all in store? Do I have to buy that online or is it in store, the patio stuff?
Oh, it's all in store. So, I mean, we have everything available online, so make sure you can check it out there. But in store, they've got some great stackouts and different products assorted across the whole building. It's an exciting time. So super, super excited for this month. And come on into their local store and come check it out.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jared. I'm looking at the Park Point wicker patio set. That's pretty slick looking. So, all right. I appreciate your time. I know there's a bunch going on in your world right now, Jared. So thanks for making time for us, especially on a Saturday morning. Have an awesome weekend. Rock on with your bad self, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Jared. All right. We could probably have him on for an hour, but then we would just make a big commercial of it. We're trying not to do that, but there's just so much stuff right now. Barb gets mad because I just go in there and walk around and waste a lot of time, I guess, and spend a lot of money. All right. Zeke and Scott, we were talking, like we had that flurry of calls there. And so I wanted to go back to one thing real quick, because I think it was Charles asked about, hey, how do I tell if my ductwork is leaking? What do you think about like using infrared? Is that something that you guys would consider or do to try to isolate or find leaky ducts?
Yeah, especially for in between ducts in between the ceiling. That's the only way
to see
how leaky it possibly is, or if you had some places in the house that are cold spots a lot of times can be just a insulation missing in a wall or something like that. It definitely very helpful.
A lot of places where Scott isn't here, by the way. But anyway,
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
Force of habit. It's only 30 years.
Yeah, right?
Cut me some slack, man.
Absolutely. Hey, but especially when they're between ceilings, sometimes you'll notice like moisture in the ceiling. Which could start in the mold. That's a clear sign that you've got some insulation removed or a leak or something in your ductwork right there too. That's definitely if you start to see some spots in the ceiling, that could be where it's coming from.
That's good answers, and it makes me want to ask another question, Rick.
Yes.
It's like high humidity in a home. So scenarios where one of the questions that actually came up was the thermostat says my house is at temp, right? But it feels like humid, almost dampish in the house. And that cold, what is that? That's probably like a sizing question. Well, it could be. I won't answer the question.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it could be a sizing issue. But here's the thing. I mean, it depends on what the temperature is. That's why when you buy better equipment, the modulating outdoor units and the variable speed, it adjusts to what the outdoor temperature is, the indoor temperature, and provides you the proper amount of cooling to remove the humidity. Because in the South, we really don't fight heat. We fight humidity. It's a continuous battle. Some of these smart thermostats, you got to be really careful of. I won't name any names, but they have motion detectors on them. So these motion detectors don't sense anybody in the house, and they let the temperature rise. But in our area, when you let the temperature rise, you also let the humidity rise. So it takes so long to get the humidity back out of the home so the temperature can drop. So we don't fight temperature as much as we fight humidity. That's why variable speed is so important where we are. It takes so much more humidity out. And then the variable compressors on the outside will give you the proper amount of cooling that it takes to remove the humidity, not so much as to satisfy the temperature.
So I think that's an important point, because a couple of the other questions that came up was, is it possible that the amount of insulation that I have in my attic is affecting the humidity in my house? Because you always think about insulation from a heat transfer perspective, right? It's not allowing the hot air in the attic or the heat in the attic to penetrate into the living space. Can the amount of insulation in the attic also affect the humidity in the house?
Yes, and places where the ductwork may not be properly insulated, or maybe the insulation's coming back a little bit, can deeply affect that. The hot air of the attic touching the cold air of the pipes
and we see that around the registers and stuff too. When you start getting a sweaty register,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So insulation can also, everybody says, more insulation is better. Well, it is if you have the right size equipment, because if you can over-insulate the house, and now the air conditioning unit you have is too big for that. So it...
Especially with foaming. You have to be very careful.
It cools the air real quick, but it doesn't get the humidity out. So the air conditioning, the size of the unit can definitely be affected by the insulation.
That makes sense, because I remember we spoke about, and it was the foam insulation scenario, as I recall. Somebody had their house sprayed with foam, so it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It made a huge difference in how hot the home got, but we actually had to have them dump some of the cold air out so that the system would run a little bit longer to take the humidity out. That's crazy. All right, look, we're going to be right up against the break again, so we'll go ahead and take it. There's 100 questions about, well, not 100. There's a few about charge lines and some stuff like that we'll tackle when we come back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk when we return from these important messages.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Gentlemen, always grateful for your awesome support. Let's jump. Well, we're at 704-570-1110. If you've got a heating and cooling questions right now, we got the brain trust in the house. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll talk about what questions you might have. I talked about talking about charged lines before we went to the break, but maybe before we do that, let's go to two very common questions. Number one is, what is the difference between a condenser coil and an evaporator coil, and why should it matter?
Well, normally the condenser coil on an air conditioner is the outdoor coil.
Ah, okay.
I said normally. The problem is that when you put it in, if it's a heat pump, when you put it in heat,
now it's the
indoor coil.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
But typically when you talk about condenser coil, that makes the condensing unit, which is the outdoor unit. They call it the condenser coil. And then the indoor unit is called the indoor coil. Condenser, it's just changing the refrigerant from a hot gas to a liquid, and that's what they're saying, condensing. So it condenses.
Got it.
But that happens in the indoor coil in the heat pump.
Got it. So you actually literally reverse the system. So it doesn't even make sense with the advent of the heat pump to talk about it that way, because what you would think about is the system that absorbs heat and the system that dissipates heat.
Right.
And in the summertime, the inside absorbs heat and the outside dissipates. And in the wintertime, the outside absorbs and the inside dissipates. By dissipating it, it spreads it through the house in the form of heat. Mm-hmm. Okay. I consider myself educated. Well, about that. I didn't think about that. you think about it, and it's easy in your brain to say evaporator coil, there's moisture on it, so there's some evaporation, and that would happen on the inside unit, but only during the summer. Okay. Kenny has a question. Let's see what he's got. Kenny, good morning on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Good. I've got a question on blown-in insulation.
Okay.
My house is about 5 years old. It has blown-in in the attic, and I'm contemplating taking that out and having it foamed. Reason being is, for me, it makes it easier if I want to go in and make modifications to my wall.
Understand. Got it.
Which is a better system? Am I going to compromise anything by going with foam? Or should I stay where I'm at, just quality?
Gentlemen, so foam is a better insulator than the blown-in insulation, but then there's ramifications. Zeke, Rick, there's ramifications to putting the better insulation in the attic, right?
Well, yes, yes, and, you know, depends, where is your furnace at?
It's in the attic.
Okay, so if you foam your attic, then you're going to have to bring some air for combustion air for that furnace, unless it's a two-pipe gas furnace. How old is the furnace in the attic?
The whole house is only 5 years old.
So is there a metal vent coming off the top of that the furnace, or is it a plastic PVC vent?
It's PVC. It's a high efficiency.
Is there two pipes coming off of it?
There is.
Okay, you're in good shape on that part. So you have intake and exhaust, so that part's been covered.
So then, Kenny, I think the other piece is when you put that foam in, it's really gonna reduce the amount of heat transfer into the attic space, and therefore the heat load coming into your house from the attic, even when you've got insulation in, is going to be radically reduced. So Zeke and Rick, what is there anything? Do you anticipate that there could be a problem for Kenny if now instead of 140 degrees in the attic, it's 90 degrees in the attic? Is he going to start cycling?
Well, that goes back to that humidity. Remember we talked about that humidity. If he's tightening that house up, hopefully has a multiple-staged air conditioner on the outside because he could develop some humidity issues. I've seen a lot of that happen with foam.
Go ahead, Kenny.
It doesn't have a two-stage compressor on it. One thing also that I didn't mention on the underlay or the sheeting on the roof, on the inside of the attic, it's got a foam coated with the foam, and I guess it's a bubble, like a thin layer of bubble pack underneath the foam. So the temperature in the attic already is not too bad compared to a regular asphalt roof with nothing on the bottom side.
Got it. And then so you've got like an attic shield type of product under there. That's great. So again, Zeke and Rick, it sounds like, and this is all original equipment, right, Kenny?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Zeke and Rick, it sounds like the load calculation was done with this higher R value or better scenario from a heat transfer for the roof. I feel like he'd be a little bit less likely to have cycling issues if that's already kind of calculated in, is it?
Well, that's,
what do you think?
We're assuming, and that gets us in trouble. I would say have somebody do a heat load, heat gain calculation, calculating it with foam, and see, then compare to what his air conditioning system is.
Kenny, this is not a self-serving because it's not me, but I would reach out to either, Rick and the folks at Charlotte Comfort Systems or Zeke and the folks at Costa Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Just have somebody come out and do that load calculation for you, and then you'll know whether you're going to have a cycling issue. Because what will happen is with the system you've got, you keep hot air from getting into the house. The system's going to cool much faster. And if it cools too fast, it won't take enough humidity out. And then it gets very uncomfortable and possibly mildew issues.
Right. Doing the short cycling like that. Now,
exactly.
Another question on that line, do I need to put a wire into the attic, a small vent, a small duct wire?
I'll tell you what, Kenny, let's do this. Hang tight for 1 second, because I that's going to take a second to answer. We've already snuck past the break. We'll be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after this.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating and Cooling Electrical.
And thanks for being with us, guys. Here comes Kenny back. Kenny, you had a question that we had to kind of hang tight on and get into the break. Do you want to go back and touch base on that for us, please?
Yes. I was wanting to see about switching over from blown-in insulation to foam.
Right, right. I remember.
Not going to cause myself any issues.
And then you said, well, you asked if you should dump some supply air, I think, into the attic was a
right.
question that we didn't get to.
Right. Well, I have to dump supply air into the attic space.
You'll do so supply and return into that space. Yes, you're going to make it somewhat of a conditioned space, and that'll take care of some of that humidity issues that you may have if it is oversized. So if it's properly done, you'll have no problem.
So, again, it goes back to that load calculation, Kenny.
Okay. I appreciate it, guys. I listen to you guys every Saturday morning. Thought I'd give you a call and see, because you guys always give good answers.
Well, I'm glad you listened, and I'm glad you called.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Kenny. Have a great one. Go ahead. Go ahead, Zeke. I'm sorry.
No, I just said thank you.
Oh, okay. So there's a lot to it, which goes all the way back to the first conversation we were having. Is like when you start thinking about heating and cooling, I mean, there's a lot to think about. So we haven't spoken about this at all on this show, and I guess we always talk about this. It really is worthwhile to get a semi-annual, you know, heating inspection for the wintertime, cooling inspection for the summertime. It just lets all those things get checked out, so you don't have to stop and think about, you know, what it's going to take to make sure that every time the thermostat says I need heat, you get heat. And every time the thermostat says I need cool, you get cool. And you don't wonder what's going to happen next. So anyway, that's our plug for it.
On that I just wanted to add one other thing, you know, because we did speak a lot about ductwork and ductwork leaks mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not everything is visual, but when you have that inspection done, a good technician should go and take a visual look on that ductwork to make sure we don't have any problems, you know, down that highway system of air we've got. And see any breaks or some visible leaks, because they could cause you problems down the road. So not only is he servicing your equipment, but he's taking a look at all the ductwork and making sure that everything looks in good shape.
That's good. So he or she mm-hmm. will also do one more thing, I think, depending on the scenario. And we spoke very early on in the show about, you know, the proverbial dirty sock syndrome. And that's not a question of laundry. It's a question of a dirty, I would normally call it evaporator coil, but a heat exchange, the inside coil, when you're cooling, gets, you know, moisture on it. And if you've had like substandard filters, it gets funk on it. That's the cause of dirty sock syndrome, isn't it?
Right. Well, yeah, dirty sock is really just the bacteria that is on that coil, and it dries out because it gets hot in the winter, whether it's the heat pump or just the furnace itself blowing hot air across it, it mm-hmm. dries. And when that bacteria gets wet, moisture from the air conditioner, when the air conditioner comes on, it creates moisture on that coil, and then it, you know, activates that bacteria, and that's what the odor is, the dirty sock. So, you know, like you were saying, having a good filter system and cleaning, you know, sometimes what you have to do is just clean that indoor coil, and that really, there's no guarantee that'll take care of it, but that's, you know, does
typically
help quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see what Michael's got. Michael, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing well.
So I've got a bathroom in my home. My home was built in 1960, and it's got the original, like, 2x2 or 3x3 square blue tile, and it's got an original cast iron tub. And I'm wanting to remodel it, but my concern is that it could have asbestos in it. And I'm wondering if, you know, you go online and you can buy these kits. They're $30 or $40, and you take the samples and mail them off. Are those kits mm-hmm. reliable enough to, you know,
typically
feel good about it? Or?
Yeah, yeah, typically. I would say you're prudent to be careful. But, yeah, you can those kits go off to a lab, and they're tested. Some of them may actually happen right there in state. I know a lot of the agricultural things and water testing, I think, go to NC State for more than just North Carolina. But yeah, they are reliable. A couple things you might think about, Michael. If it comes back positive, you should get an asbestos expert, an abatement expert out to deal with it. If you're going to remove it, one option is not to disturb the asbestos tile. So depending on what you do long term from a remodel, you can put you can encapsulate it by putting, you know, a hardy a fiber cement underlayment and some ceramic tile over it. You could encapsulate it with an LVT, a waterproof, life-proof type LVT. So there's some things that you can do that allow you to continue with your remodel without disturbing the asbestos. But your first step, or your first intuitive step to get it tested, is 100% correct. Once you know the answer to that, then you start thinking about what the options are with respect to abatement or encapsulation.
Okay. All righty. Well, I appreciate the information.
You're welcome, sir. We appreciate your call. You're welcome. 704-570-1110. We're in the lightning round. We're talking HVAC, but we'll talk about any question that comes up. Let me ask one thing. I see, and I think they're fairly popular, the duct booster fans that are designed to get like a little bit extra heat into a remote area of the house, or a little bit extra cool into a more remote area of the house. What do you guys say to those products?
They don't work very well. Here's the problem that you get into. What happens when you speed up hot air?
It cools off.
Exactly. So you're not getting what you need to for it. It should, you know, the ductwork should be properly laid out. There should be no need in an exhaust, a booster fan inside your duct system. I don't really know of one that I would, Zeke. Is there really one that's...
No, and it's... It's really
Band-Aid
a Band-Aid.
Cancer.
You
uh-huh.
need to address the issue.
Yes,
why is that room cold, or, you know, whether it's running a larger duct into it, increasing the size of the ductwork would probably be better than putting a booster fan in.
Agree.
Makes sense. Okay, so go from like a 4-inch to a 6-inch or whatever it would be on the supply side. Okay, and then there's ramifications of that also, right? Because we're right back to, you know, what's the load calculation look like? Because if you're pulling that much warmer air or cooler air to that remote spot, are you starving another area? I don't know how to think about that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about the load calculation. Is not, you know, you do a load calculation for the whole house, but you can actually do a room by room calculation, and that'll tell you how much air you need in each room.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we don't have enough time to get deep into it, but I've been sort of like, I don't know if I want to get all the way into it. In a load calculation, in a couple minutes, like, what are the big, actually in less than a minute, what are the big factors that one would think about in a load calculation?
Well, I mean, the way the house faces as far as the windows, because the load from the windows because of the sun can create quite a bit. Okay. Rick was talking about during the break, you know, about a house that he went to that had a great big tree in the front yard. What happens is that tree ends up being cut down or even trimmed back, and now it doesn't have the shade on the house anymore. So
So there's all kinds of it gets long. So we're not. So here's it's just like I think it was Kenny that we were talking to. It was like get someone qualified out. If your house is not comfortable, Zeke, you spoke of comfort. Rick, you speak of comfort. If it's not comfortable, then get somebody out, do the load calculation, and get to the root cause rather than doing blocking this vent or adding a booster fan to that vent. Sounds like good advice. Gentlemen, speaking of good advice, you guys always provide it. We are so grateful for that, so grateful for the time and information that you all share with us. Folks, it's the end of our show. We love to remind you at the end of each show that we think the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.